Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, July 1st, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Gumond. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I am all right. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am pleased as punch to be here.
Excellent. Excellent.
Punch sounds good. It's hot today.
Yeah, it's really hot today. Like, really hot. We need some punch. But not like weird flavors.
No.
You know, not
skip
not,
the
not
vodka.
Like,
oh, nice normal rum punch.
What are you talking about? Yeah. All right. Wow. Okay, so we've had a day now to kind of get used to Apple Music. And when I say get used to Apple Music, I mean try it out. So yeah. I thought the first thing that we could talk about today was the impressions that you guys have with Apple Music. Now, yesterday, I talked with Dave and Brian, and Apple Music had just, only a few minutes before we recorded, been released. So we had just a few minutes, really, to play around, and Brian was actually getting everything set up on the show, and we learned firsthand that some of the controls didn't quite make sense to Brian because we suddenly had extra music just pouring out through everywhere. So anyhow, that was our first experience yesterday. But now three of us, we've had a little bit more time to take a look at Apple Music, and I'm curious what you guys are thinking about the service.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, so far I dig it. I haven't spent a ton of time listening. But what I have spent is, and this is going to sound weird, but go with me on it. This reminds me why I gave up radio in the first place. Because I've said before, I actively don't listen to the radio in my car. I plug in my phone, and that's the end of it. And the reason for that is because most of what is played on the radio in Portland is a robo station. The ones where like everything's programmed from some central place. And, you know, there's someone else who decides, like, what songs are popular and what's going to get played to death. And those are the things that you end up hearing, you know, every 3 hours or whatever it is. And there's no DJ. And there's just some mysterious disembodied voice that comes in and reminds you what station you're listening to. And that's basically it. And I don't like that. And it's not fun. It's not fun for me to listen to, because part of what I really liked about when I had my own radio show and listening to other radio shows as the DJ, I enjoyed, when I was doing it, playing music that maybe other people hadn't been exposed to and I thought they might enjoy. And I'm really excited about this band. Let me tell you all about it. Jeff, you've experienced that firsthand. You and I have gotten going about music and you've seen me be like, and it's full on. And I loved having a radio show as a platform for that expression. You guys totally need to check out this band. This is who's awesome right now. This is a song that I cannot get enough of today. So now you get to hear it. And I miss that. And I miss getting to hear that, because that was one of the ways that I had a lot of discovery myself. And the other thing that I'm glad about with Beats Radio is that Zane Lowe is a DJ whose show I have enjoyed previously on Radio 1. We won't talk about how, but I have. It's great.
The whole Zane Lowe thing. First, thank you, listeners, for catching what I completely missed yesterday when I said Zane Grey instead of Zane Lowe. Wow. Now that we're over that, yeah. The thing that I'm hearing people complain about with Zane Lowe is that he's talking a lot. And people don't realize this is how he does his shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if you're used to the robo stations, which is why one of the main reasons why I stopped listening to radio years ago, the robo station stuff was just so bland and impersonal. I had no interest in what was happening. Then someone like Zane Lowe comes along where listening to music is now a participation thing and it's a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool, but if you don't like that, man, you're really not going to like listening to Zane Lowe.
Now, on the upside, there are other shows. Oh, sorry, God. John, go ahead.
Speaking of not liking, we were talking in the pre-show about all the different attitudes and opinions about it. Everybody seems to be as you guys were saying, expressing a peculiar, special opinion about the way they want things to be, and every little thing kind of annoys them. But I was out on an extended errand yesterday, and I came back last night and played with iTunes 12.2, and I'm pleased with what Apple's trying to do in general. First of all, they got rid of the hated, despised red icon. It was messing up my dock, because every time I looked in the dock, I saw that red iTunes icon, and I thought, oh, feed it to the wood chipper.
I was so glad for that, because finally an icon that stood out on the dock. I was tired. I'm tired of everything being blue.
It's like the one thing about iTunes I liked was that it wasn't blue.
And, well, but the red just infuriated us, right? Because we looked at it and we went, the red icon is everything we don't like about iTunes 12. But that's in the past.
No, it's the interface. That's everything I don't like.
Yeah, it's just the interface.
But you know, the first thing that struck me when I fired it up is that it's familiar iTunes. Apple didn't try to obliterate you with music and sort of stick it in your face. You know, you can navigate around. You can find Connect. You can find Radio. You can do things that you used to do. You still bring up your playlist, bring up your music. You know, you can still buy music if you want to buy music. You can stream music if you want to stream music. Mm-hmm. The free stuff is pretty low-key, and there's an article this morning about how to disable the automatic renewal. So, you know, I think Apple took both a moderate approach to the user interface, and they also have something that, by and large, I think is going to appeal to a lot of people. I mean, it's just an augmentation of iTunes. It's something where you can do this, you can do it, you can have it this way, or you can have it that way, and that's kind of neat for me.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that I was doing yesterday was listening to the streaming music stations as well, because I knew they were going to be different. And I'm surprised at how different they are, like in a really good way. Everything that I was listening to, it was like someone sat down with me and just went and made a list of all the music I would want to hear and then played that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really impressed with that. And then the Beats 1 stuff that I listened to, except for like the first time I really sat down to listen. And I was like, okay, I'm going to spend an hour right now doing nothing but listening to Beats 1. And the first thing that comes up is some artist that was doing a duet thing with Justin Bieber. And I immediately shut it off and thought, well, that's it. I never want to hear music for the rest of my life.
Oh.
So I had to kind of work my way back into it after that.
Okay.
I know I have no control over that part, because these are real people making song or making playlists and then playing these just like old school DJs, which I'm finding really interesting. Apple is trying to bring back the old school way of radio working.
And the thing I like about that is that, and I know how this will sound, but it's similar to the sort of anarchy. When I talk about having a radio show, I had a radio show in college on a college radio station. And it was, as far as playlists went, it was pretty anarchistic. You know, I played whatever I wanted to play.
As opposed to anachronistic.
Right. Which is a very different thing. So it was basically anarchy. Like when I had my radio show, it was 3 hours. And everybody's show was 3 hours. I could do 3 hours of basically whatever I wanted. And so I would have themed shows where every title was a question, every song was a cover, everyone started with the letter B. You know, I did things like that. And so it kind of didn't matter. Like, you were tuning in to see what on earth I was up to. You weren't really tuning in for Kelly plays hard rock, and so I'm going to get to hear hard rock for the next 3 hours.
That's kind of what we're getting with Apple or with
right.
Beats 1.
And that's what I like about Beats 1, because the thing I also liked about the radio station was that there was a guy, his name was Tony Marks, and he did 6 hours of classical music every Sunday morning, and it was beautiful. And I loved that. But he was consistent about his show. So to give you the, you know, end-to-end, like, there was his show that was 6 hours of classical music every Sunday morning. He signed up for 2 shifts. Nobody else wanted to be on between 6 and noon at Sunday morning, because most of the rest of us were college students and didn't realize that time existed. And then, you know, there were other shows. There was mine. There was the guy that did the comedy and the Dr. Demento style show. There was a guy who did a metal show. There were other people who had different styles of stuff that they would play. There was one guy that would just do nothing but play Grateful Dead shows, basically. And I mean, they were all great, but you know, if you tune in and that's not your jam, like, it's not your jam. But on the upside, come back later and it'll be somebody else doing something different. And so it's a little bit anarchy, a little bit of anarchy in the Beats 1 station. And I can't wait to hear more of the shows. This morning, Brian was telling us that St. Vincent was an interesting set.
Yes, it was like, it was really good.
And then there's like, I know, I think Eminem is today. And then yesterday or today, and then there's like Elton John is going to have a show, and I can't wait to hear what all these different styles end up turning out to be. Like, I want to, I want to see what Elton John pulls out of his record collection that he thinks the rest of the world needs to hear. That's the other thing that I think is awesome about Beats music, is that it's the same thing at the same time. So if I'm listening here and a friend of mine in the UK is listening, we're listening to the same thing right now. It's not time shifted. So whatever's playing at 10 a.m. Pacific for Kelly is playing at 6 p.m. Pacific for him. And I think that's awesome.
Except it wouldn't be 6 p.m. Pacific for him.
Oh, did I do it backwards?
No, you said...
Or 6 p.m., yeah, not Pacific time.
Yeah, I'm just being a butt. Okay. Carry on.
So I like the idea that I can go on Twitter right now and go, this is the best Matthew Good Band song that has ever existed on Beats Radio right now. And somebody will get to hear it right now. If somebody catches that and tunes in immediately, they can hear part of the song I'm so excited about. And I love that that's a thing, because it doesn't matter where you are. And, you know, it's not like TV is even still not this way. Like, when Game of Thrones is on, I have to stop looking at everything at about 5 o'clock Pacific time. And I basically have to stay away from social media until I've watched Game of Thrones myself, and it doesn't come on for me until like 9 o'clock. So I have to spend Sunday afternoons off Twitter so that nobody ruins anything for me, because they're all talking about it when it airs for them, which is one of the things I find disappointing about some of the like live TV viewing kind of stuff, is that, you know, usually it's all wrapped up on the East Coast for a while before it ever gets here. So I really like that they've taken that away as a hurdle to enjoyment. So yes. I'm pumped about it, because like I said, it's a thing that has gone away and made me sad. It's part of why I didn't really miss radio and didn't mind plugging my iPod in when I'm in the car, or now plugging in my phone when I'm in the car, is because I don't want to hear what some corporate person in another state, many states away, has decided is going to be the popular song this summer. I want to find something good for myself and enjoy it myself. So yeah.
It's like people sat around in Apple's offices and thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could be WKRP in Cincinnati?
Yes.
Well, you know, guys, what I think I'm noticing is that is that there have been previous attempts to create a community around music. Like, I remember Microsoft Phone had these commercials where two guys are sitting on a bench, correct me if I'm wrong, and they tap their phones and they trade playlists or something like that. Do you remember that one?
So that sounds vaguely familiar.
It might be a Samsung commercial, but
It might be. But so the idea of sharing playlists or doing various things in the past or ping, were all these kind of incipient attempts to create a community around music, and they didn't do very well. And I think Apple Music is going to be a more successful way to kind of get everybody more active and involved in the community. And that's good for everybody financially and for the industry. Don't you feel that kind of community kind of popping up?
Yeah, it does feel like there's kind of a community mm-hmm. thing happening. Now, one of the things that that I'm seeing come up as a recurring theme for people that really don't like Apple Music is that they don't like Beats One. So for those people, what I suggest is go and check out the streaming music selections, because that's built off of your tastes.
Right.
And I've been something very for impressed with that.
Yeah.
It's been great. And I noticed it earlier, as a matter of fact. We all got together last week in Breckenridge. And one of the things that I noticed is because Dave Hamilton had this amazing JBL Pulse speaker. If you guys haven't seen one of those, you should totally check it out. Cool. It's awesome. I kind of have a crush on it. Dave had this Bluetooth speaker and he said, here, anybody that wants to, it's your turn. And at one point I took over and I decided to play one of my iTunes stations. And so I played my movie soundtrack station, which I want to be really heavy on John Williams. So I added John Williams as an artist and then I added a bunch of individual albums of John Williams to the play more like this sort of section. And it's now, and it didn't used to be this way, but it now plays me a lot more John Williams than it used to, which makes me very happy. It used to play sort of equal parts John Williams and other composers that I had added to the list, Michael Giacchino and some others. So I had this really great soundtrack station. And now it actually does what I wanted it to do, which is play a lot of John Williams and some other things interspersed here and there. And I really like that it's doing it that way. And I was noticing that over the weekend before Beats had even launched. And I was also noticing that my Pet Shop Boys radio station subject example used in a number of articles I've written over at Mac Observer, my Pet Shop Boys radio station actually also has gotten much better at being Pet Shop Boys heavy and then also playing more of the stuff that I have included in the list.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, so if you are not liking Beats 1, check out the streaming music stations. Let me know what you think, because I'm curious if you like those more than Beats 1, or if just across the board, Apple Music really isn't spinning your top. So let me know, listeners.
There's something for everyone.
Yeah, there's something for everyone. I would like to think, but if you're looking at it and you're thinking, nope, not picking up what Apple's putting down, let me know. You can let me know on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com, or leave comments in the show notes article. I will check all those places, and I love hearing from you guys. So let me know. Now, we're getting low on time. But there is another thing that I wanted to talk about today, and this kind of, it's like a theme show. What's polarizing? Apple Music is polarizing. The MacBook is polarizing. And John, you wrote a piece yesterday where you're sharing your experience about how the MacBook has been treating you, because you've been using one for about 2 months now. And I'm really curious what you're thinking of the MacBook experience now that you've had several weeks to play with one.
Well, the principal takeaway, to make a long story short, is that you have to use one for a while and appreciate its design elements, because it's shocking at first. The first thing that happens is you use it and you say, there's no ports. Oh, that's bad. And then you try the keyboard and you say, oh, these keys are too big. And it feels funny, and it's a bad computer. And in my experience after 2 months is that no, you have to actually understand it and learn to exploit it and appreciate it, and it grows on you. The MacBook suggests better ways for you to communicate wirelessly, and if you kind of adapt to that quickly and say, oh yeah, this is cool, I can do this, then you're doing AirDrop and you're doing, you know, AirPlay, and you back up wirelessly instead of having to have a drive attached. And so that kind of just lends itself to an easier way of doing things. And as far as the keyboard goes, I did some measurements yesterday, did some analysis, and wrote up a kind of a quasi-technical article about the keys. You know, the center to center, we were talking about this in Breckenridge, the spacing between the keys, center to center, is the same. It's just the key's a little bigger. And why is the key a little bigger? Well, because in the past, if the key was bigger on a scissor mount, the edge of the key would touch before the registration mechanism would, and then you'd hear a click, but it would be the wrong click, and you'd be out of sync. So this butterfly mechanism allows you to make the keys bigger and depress it levelly, and so it registers properly, and it's got a short throw, which I discussed in the article, and I like keyboards with short throws, because the faster it registers, the faster I can move on to the next key. So I discussed all these things, but the bottom line is that the MacBook needs to have some time with you. You can't just have an off-the-cuff reaction to it and say, well, no, it's different. It doesn't look like my MacBook Air. It doesn't feel like my MacBook Air, and it's stupid. And you can't fall into that. After using it for 8 weeks, I love it. It's my favorite notebook of all time. And users who are thinking about using one should spend an extended amount of time, however they can, by looking at a friend's or spending a lot of time in the Apple Store, and not just spending 30 seconds on the keyboard and saying, well, this is different, it's no good.
All right. So I take it you really liking the new MacBook.
Yes, I really like it. And it's so light. It's just the lightness itself lends itself to appreciating it. And the other thing is that that USB port, there's only one place to charge. There's only one place to plug things in. That has the added benefit of having you treat the MacBook as if it were an iPad. How do we treat our iPads? We run it all day. We only have one port. When the battery gets low, we plug it in and charge it, and we get 10 more hours. The MacBook is the same philosophy. Don't have a lot of things dangling off it. Don't keep your power adapter plugged in all day long, which is not really good for the battery. Use your peripherals, plug them in, use it, and then when the 10 hours is up and the battery's low, charge it overnight and repeat and rinse. So it promotes good battery life, and it's just something you have to get used to.
All right. And after getting to play around with your MacBook a little bit in Breckenridge, I went from thinking, well, you know, when I need to get an ultralight laptop replacement for my 13-inch MacBook Air, I'll probably just get another MacBook Air. But now I'm really thinking hard about whether or not the MacBook is the right choice. And what made the difference for me was getting to play with one outside of an Apple Store where there aren't cables attached to it, so I could feel the real weight, and I could just sit down and use the laptop in the positions I use a laptop, not at a table that Apple has that may not be at the right height for me.
And there are multiple docks coming. There's an OWC dock that's going to be pretty full-featured in September. There's a couple of Kickstarter projects. I think one of them is called Bridge or something like that, to have a sort of a modest small dock. So in time, for people who are professionals and are doing specific things and need multiple things plugged in at the same time, we'll have our docks in due time. But it's good that the docks are coming late, because then our usage profile improves, and we learn how to use it properly on the go as a mobile machine. And then for heavy duty professional users or special needs, then, you know, attach the dock when you need it. It's coming.
Sure.
So here's the thing I think that you guys would probably agree would be really smart for Apple to do. Right now, when you go to an Apple store, you can schedule a try-on appointment for an Apple Watch. That watch is not chained to the counter. It is allowed to be on your arm. You can wave your arm around. It's not hooked up to anything. And you're allowed to try it how you would actually try it. You put it on the arm of your choice. You put it on and sort of check it out. How does it feel? How is the band? Is it really heavy? I wish they had try-on appointments for the new MacBook, because I think if somebody was allowed to play with one without the giant magnetic strapped on the back thing to it to keep it from walking out of the store, it might be possible that a lot more people would be interested in them. Because if I'd had a chance to spend some time typing on one, and if I'd had a chance for somebody to sort of talk me off my MagSafe ledge, that's probably the machine that I would have ended up with too.
Sure, you could fit it in your backpack and see how it works there. You could go over into the corner of the Apple Store and sit on the floor and have it on your lap and type on it for a while.
They have all those tables and benches. It would be those tables and stools, and there's always seating in the Apple Store. In every Apple Store I've ever been in, there's some sort of seating, because there's a Genius Bar or there's the training section or what have you. So here, sit down and put it on your lap and see what you really think of typing. Let me bust out TextEdit for you and just go nuts with that keyboard and see what you really think.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do is go into the Apple Store, lean over on the table, type on it for about 15 seconds and TextEdit and say, oh, this is different, I don't like it.
And it's the right angle for no one, number one.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I wish that was a thing that could happen. So there you go. I'm going to go back to imagining us as WKRP and Cincinnati characters now.
I think that's awesome. Okay. And on that note, we are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. John, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
Kelly, thank you for being here too.
Of course.
Listeners, thank you for joining us again today. It's always great to get together like this with all of you and just sit around and talk. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.